Oh, already.
Right. Let's see here. Good, I'll get this all set up.
I'll try it anyways. You have a little card to get yourself out.
Right? Yeah.
The entitlement.
Thanks.
Do we need more?
Maybe a couple more.
Okay, I'll wait a little bit with them.
Yeah. You,
Oh, where did
is
you
this
go?
just
You
people?
just have to read
Nice.
one.
Did you go to Apple at some point? Or how did you?
I met
Oh, we should
them.
pass these around. Yeah, no.
I went to the after party of the conference.
Oh, no.
And they had a gift for the
Yeah.
but they had 400
Okay, well, now.
the there is.
Website.
Really only managed to make one. Put it
They
out.
have yes. They could use those for serving tonight. Yes. All right.
We're gonna pass it around the table. So it's there's red bean paste inside.
Yay. Boys and girls.
Feel free to grab any extra chair that you find outside.
Yeah, and there's also
there's one there as
Oh,
well. Yeah, right here.
so there's one over here actually. Oh,
Oh, it's a call.
hi.
Let me.
Sorry. Okay.
I'll grab
Okay.
It's great. Here, we'll just throw this chair into the
Yes.
mix here.
Yes.
You want to minimize it?
Oh.
Just do it. I've got the mouse. Right.
Just leave it. Oh.
Huh?
Just leave it the
Uh-huh. So, it's just the I thought that was something else, and it's just the lab news.
yeah.
So, it's actually website now. Yeah. So today we have Sheridan presenting.
Jaden.
You can just use this. And so she's going to be talking about research in progress. So, we very much welcome any comments and suggestions and ideas. She's got some very cool, some cool observations and hypotheses that she's pushing forward. So with that, Sheridan, yeah, go ahead.
I can actually sit over here. No, but then I can see the screen.
Oh, that's great.
No, also here, I can see the
You can
slides
see
on
your
it.
own slides, right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. You can generally grab me a couple
Yeah,
of
so yeah, like
dashboards.
David said, this is
Oh,
basically
yeah.
yeah, this is basically some work that is like in progress. And he kind of suggested to try and structure this talk as if like the
Thanks.
project is done. Like with the paper, I have the paper all done. But I think I just didn't have enough time to really do that very well. So it's kind of going to be basically just like a bunch of results. And I tried to string them. It's like a chain, but it's not like a nice cohesive, like interlocking thing, if that makes sense. So I'll kind of be like starting with some like observations and then like going into like an experiment that I did that I just, yeah. So first I'll just start with like kind of a interactive activity. So you don't have to actually literally do this, but just think about doing this. Like if I asked you to like copy down like what is in like this little piece of paper on the slide, just like think about, you know, like if you had to like write it down on a piece of paper or something. what that task kind of feels like to do. Versus, you know, it's kind of like annoying, right? Versus like if you rearrange all the tokens into like a meaningful sentence, it makes it like a lot easier to do the same task. Because you have this like layer of meaning that makes it like a lot easier for you to like read and understand what it's saying and then be able to like repeat back if you're trying to like write it down on a piece of paper. So yeah, so there's this kind of observation that yeah, it's like easier to copy meaningful text than it is to copy scrambled text. Because like with meaningful text, you have this like layer of meaning that like you basically are able to like actually like read and understand what's happening and then be able to repeat it with the language skills that you already have versus like scrambled tokens in which you have kind of have no choice but to like labor over every single token or every single character or whatever, depending on what layer it's scrambled at or what level it's scrambled at. So basically what I'm trying to do right now in this project is figure out like whether LLMs copy meaningful text in like a smart way where they like read the meaning in from the surface level symbols and then like say that meaning back out, or whether they just like blindly index through tokens and spit them back out undigested. And so this isn't like in context like copying tasks. And so I personally think this is interesting enough, but I think if you need like more of a grand justification for this, you can kind of think of it this way. So like in order to model language, LLMs have to have like representations of meaning that are like pretty like independent from tokens, especially because a lot of tokenization is, again, is kind of like unreliable. But also because like even if you had like a perfect tokenizer that had like one word for every like one token for every like word, you would still get cases like names and stuff where like the meaning of the token doesn't actually correspond, the meanings of the individual tokens don't actually correspond to the meaning of those tokens like together in that particular combination. So like previously, what I was working on was like showing evidence of like models like erasing token level information at the end of multi-token words. So for example, like in this example, like Clifford Brown, that's like four tokens. And so like if you imagine that you're like a language model that's like auto-regressively reading in those tokens, you would see like CL, IFF, ORD, and then Brown. And then you would recognize like, oh, Clifford Brown, like the trumpet player. And so like the actual like meaning of the actual tokens like CL and IFF aren't really relevant to like representing like the concept of that trumpet player. And so, yeah. And so like presumably this erasure or like what I was hypothesizing is that this erasure is to create concept representations that are independent from token representations. But yeah, so like the reason why this is interesting is like in order to like do any sort of like language modeling task, you have to have like the meaning representations. So for example, if you want to translate a concept into another language, you need to have the representation of the concepts that you can then like spit out like or convert that into a different sort of token representation in like a different language, for example. And so basically the reason why I'm looking at this copying setting is like maybe we can try to separate this like token level representations from like the meaning level representations, even if the model could just be doing like token level stuff, if that makes sense. So yeah, does anyone have any questions about that?
Have you seen, there's these 1970s studies on chess by like these learning psychologists where if you take a chessboard, you can scramble the chessboard. You can take chess grandmasters and they'll it's like chunking research. So you can scramble the chessboard and they won't be able to reconstruct it. But if it's not scrambled, then they can reconstruct the whole board from memory.
It's worth memorizing the non-grandmasters. If a non-grandmaster sees a scrambled board, they're better at chunking it than a grandmaster.
I don't think they're better, but they're like equal.
No, I think they're better. Like the grandmasters are worse because they're so like their priority is so fixed on like.
Are you sure? I remember reading equal. Like
I think that was an epic. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of this.
Vegetarian.
Yeah. Anyway, this kind of like really reminds me of that.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
This is question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also I'm going to be writing down a bunch of stuff throughout. So.
Yeah, we have board game people in the room, right? Is John here? Yeah. Oh, that's a nice little board game representation thing to reproduce that other one exactly, just in chess, with a chess model, to see like an autoencoder in chess or something like that.
Beautiful. So looking at SAE features, or like features that are good at reconstructing the board, it's often that, as you say, it takes chunks and it learns for both Othello and chess. It's like if we have an SAE feature that's both like high precision and recall, it mostly corresponds to like the bottom left being like in a specific configuration with like 6, 7 individual pieces, a constellation of 6, 7 individual pieces. So yeah, right, that aligns one.
That's cool. Yeah, the other thing is I just kind of included this like philosophy thing. So there's this essay called The Task of the Translator by Walter Benjamin. And I think it's just kind of interesting because in like sort of from like literary theory and stuff, there's like this idea that like for a text to be a text, it must like already bear the property of being translatable. So the translation does not come later, but is there from the start as a proper possibility of a text that defines that text essentially. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting like theoretical like justification or like theoretical like idea that kind of aligns well with this project of like the LLM representations of text should like kind of bear the property of being translatable from the start, as in like the LLM should be like taken like when it's processing text, it's like converting it into like a meaning representation that is just like inherently like translatable. But yeah, that was just like a, yeah.
Do you care about the trans, like the model itself being able to translate that text, or like as long as other models are also able to translate that text?
I guess what I'm thinking of is more like the model's internal representations, as in like if a model like reading like a piece of like English text, its internal representations should be something that like is sort of like language independent, if that makes, or not should, or like it would be cool if it was. That's just kind of what I was thinking. I just thought it was a cool little like idea. But yeah, anyone? So first I'll just talk on some background on like copying in general. So I'm sure like most of you guys all know about induction heads. They were like described in some like of the classic like Anthropic blog posts. Basically they discovered these heads in like 2-layer toy models. They find these circuits that are like important for copying like, random strings of tokens, but also like lots of other different types of tokens. So for example, if you have like a sequence, like these random tokens here, like EN, hi, fly, and later the goal, like the idea is if you see hi, if you see that sequence repeated, you would want to like copy over like the next token. So like you would want to copy over fly. So like the way that, they find those models implement this is with like a 2-stage process. So first there's like previous token heads that store like information about the previous token in the current hidden state. So I have that like drawn like here. So like for example, the representation for fly represents that high came right before it. And then later you have like the actual induction heads where if you're at high, you would basically like search over these previous tokens and see like find one that has the little flag here that says like hi came before me, and then that's how you can know that you want to like promote say fly next, if that makes sense. But like what they also claim is that induction heads can be used for like fuzzy copying tasks, so like for example like translation. But then if you think about it, you kind of start to run into some problems with tokenization when you try to like you know, do the same process again. So for example, like if you have the sentence, je mange des pommes de terre, I eat potatoes, pommes de terre is like three words, it's actually four tokens. And you'd have to be able to map those like four tokens or like those three words into like just the word potatoes in English. And so basically, like the token indexing thing that was like here wouldn't actually like work exactly in this setting anymore. And so you can kind of imagine like a different type of induction process that operates over like these chunks instead of operating over like the actual individual tokens. So for example, in this diagram that I have here, so if you have like pomme de terre, you would imagine that like maybe this, the end of this chunk store says that like eat came before me. And then later when you see the English word eat, you can like then copy over this entire concept of potatoes so that you can output the English version of that concept. Does that make sense? Is it? Yeah. So this is kind of like the idea that I have in my head for like the rest of this, of what I'm trying to like figure out, see if we can show that this is happening.
Do you think that information is lost with respect to translation? Like as an example, in Mandarin, lots of fruits basically are two words. The first one is just basically describing what type of fruit it is, and the second is the word for fruit. And it's the same with berries. So in a sense, there's like a categorization that's sort of done, like when put just by the how the words are defined. And if you translate to English, I mean, strawberry, that's, you know, blackberry, that holds. But for like, you know, apple, banana, orange, like it, you kind of lose information in that respect. I'm wondering whether you think there's like a one-to-one, like kind of inversion between the two, or if there's like a loss of information.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because to me, like, because like apple is like pink ball, right? Like yeah, it has the straight. Little, yeah, yeah has the little like fruit word in it. But I never thought of that. Like, I wonder how much like the actual like word, like the actual like fruit word, if that's like extra information or, yeah, I haven't really, I don't know. Cause,
it just feels
like to me, it just feels like part of the word. Like it's just how you write the word, if that makes sense. But I'm also not like a native Chinese speaker. So maybe when you speak, like if you are a native Chinese speaker, when you say apple, you actually are thinking fruit. But like, for example, like in English, you could say like jackfruit or something. Like, I don't know if I really think like, oh, jackfruit, like the word fruit is in there and that's how I know it's a fruit. Like if it didn't have the word fruit, I would still know it's like a fruit, if that makes sense.
So English has inconsistency though, where some of the, forgetting the example off my head, but sometimes the name, it seems like it's a category, but actually isn't.
So if Sheridan's hypothesis were true, then what is richer in your case Chinese representation would just like have this maximum rich internal representation of the concept that's happening, and then whatever you have to query data, maybe you can like do specific group queries or other queries, it would be able to access any part of the information. So from your setup, I don't suspect there will be much loss if the language model is good at modeling.
Yeah.
So here, are you also assuming that the relative position of the words, they will be kind of same across all languages?
Yeah, that's a hard thing. I haven't really thought of that yet. So far, I've just been doing word-to-word translations, but then there's the entire problem of, like, if word order changes when you're copying between all languages. So, yeah.
Need more layers.
Yeah. Yeah, then, yeah, so that's a whole other thing. Yeah.
Like, Chang has some projects, right, where the things are, they bind together in the, like, the wrong way, where you cannot just do induction. Like, when you put things into boxes, right, and then you ask what's in the box. So it's actually, it's flipped. I put an apple into box one. I put an apple, a banana into box two. What is in box one? It's not an induction head. But the model still can do it, right? So, maybe it does something like that.
So what was Anam's question?
Here the word order is convenient.
Yeah.
Such that eating or manche is before potato. Right? And then it's just like an induction problem. But order, there might be a different language where the word order flips.
I'm a native Bengali speaker.
Yeah.
There, usually the word eat, it comes after the food.
So you need a different mechanism.
Mm.
Like the putting things into boxes.
Maybe you need a representation of the entire sentence and then.
Oh, yeah.
Which is that's what Canon is working on. Yeah. But yeah, it's hard.
I don't run into that good ways to get sentence representations. Like there's like sentence embedding models, like BERT ones, but I feel like they're like kind of like they've been like sort of something that popped up.
So one thing that I have observed in some of my research is sometimes models do encode like the high level meaning of the sentence at the period token or the full stop token or one or two tokens before that. But I'm not sure how generalizable that is.
Yeah, that's what Canon's trying to look at right now. But it's
can I say something?
Yeah.
I think that even if like it's not certain about the order of the words, still induction heads will want to take like a higher responsibility in this type of tasks. So last semester, I was doing a project with Professor Bao about like I was testing if it can complete some cycles, like a sinusoid. Then Professor Bao asked me do one thing. Instead of having the frequencies, having rational frequencies, use irrational frequencies and see if induction heads are still there. And I literally saw like one induction head that lit up in these case of rational frequencies, also lit up in the case of irrational frequency, where it was not certain about the exact position of the token to copy from. But yeah, the its responsibility actually went down in the case of irrational one, but it was still the most significant. There was a most significant attention head that was responsible for sequence completion in both of the tasks. So maybe in this case, as he was saying, that the order might not be the same, but still induction head is doing the heavy lifting in this type of tasks.
I might actually ask you about that later, because yeah, I'm not sure the setting exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine that like that there can be a layer below this layer. Like this is the layer that does the copying. As long as the tokens are nicely annotated, then you can just copy the right one. Right? Just need to nicely annotate your tokens in the previous layers. And that can go all directions.
Like some sort of entity driver.
Yeah.
Right, because you do have like the entire sentence. Yeah, before you have to translate it, I think. Yeah.
But you said it can go both directions, like all the.
Well, I'm not saying it can go against the causal masking thing, but the model can do apple is in box one.
Yeah, yeah.
What is in box one? So this is kind of it's like
the information is stored.
It's a BA pattern instead of the AB.
This is another slide for saying the same thing. So basically, yeah, I'm kind of hypothesizing like two types of induction. So there'd be like token induction, which is kind of like the classic induction head setup over individual tokens. You have to store like the previous token And it would work for like any text. Like it doesn't matter if the text is like random tokens or whatever. So it's kind of like the model's like backup plan for one. Like if it just sees a bunch of random tokens, it can at least like look for patterns within like the token level stuff. Whereas like you could also think of like concept induction, which would be like over word like chunks. And you have to store like a kind of like pointers like the previous chunk. And it only works for meaning, it would only work for meaningful text because you can't make chunks out of like random tokens. And the idea is this would maybe be used for a lot of different tasks. So next I'm just gonna kind of show some qualitative like head behavior to give intuition that I think these heads actually do exist. So for the individual token induction, you can look at like the prefix matching score from previous papers, which is just how much attention is paid to like the next token that's like about to be copied by induction. So for example, in this setting, if you add the token like, how much attention is being paid to star, which is like the next token, versus like a chunk score, which is what I just made to try and look at these heads, which is like how much, if you're at the token like, how much does that token pay attention to the end of the next concept? And so to actually do this, I just took a bunch of counterfact subjects, like I did for the previous stuff that I worked on, took a bunch of counterfact subjects and stuck them in induction, random induction sequences, and then just measured how much the like a head attempts like the end of that in like an induction context.
So just to clarify, so you have just like one sentence or you have a giant raw text? Is it like, I like Star Wars, full stop, mm-hmm. I like, and then you check, or is it more than that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. The real sequences that I'm using, I didn't put in here. I should probably include an example, but it's a length 30 sequence of, so I sample some text from like the pile. I think I use either the pile or Wikipedia, and then tokenize it and shuffle all those tokens, mm-hmm. So that you have like a random sequence, and then take like 30 of those and then add a new line separator, and then like the same 30 again, and then measure at the very end whether it is able to predict, able to complete that sequence. Does that make sense?
Okay. So when you shuffle it and do a new line character, after that you take some like chunk of those previous tokens and then paste it, and then it let it generate.
I just take the entire, repeat the entire thing again.
And what do you check then?
And so then for the prefix scores, I check how much attention the last token pays to
each of the token that you pasted in the second line.
Yeah, actually only for the very last one, because like in this particular setting, I have like a bunch of random tokens and then those tokens again. But if you started at the beginning, the model might not like realize yet that it needs to be copying.
Okay.
So I just do it at the end of like the second chunk, just to make sure like that the model has seen like this like copying happening, if that makes sense.
Okay. So the thing which is not clear is, but are you making sure that the end token there is like the worst in that concept thing? This is the question.
Oh yeah, yeah. So for
make sure that happens.
Yeah, for this score, I just like insert the counterfact subject at the end of the sequence.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do you check the chunking then if there are all random tokens?
I have like a random sequence, but then I like have a counterfact subject that's not scrappled. And I just like stick it in. Yeah. When I do this, I'm able to get like, you know, for each head, there's like a score of like how much it attends to the next token and how much it attends to the next chunk. And so I can use this to kind of pick out heads that have certain behaviors. So for example, like this.
Which model?
Oh, I didn't mention Llama 2.7b.
How many layers?
So there's 32 layers and 32 heads per layer.
Okay.
Yeah. So for example, this is an ex. Oh, my things are a little messed up. But this is an example of like a regular like token induction head. So I know the text is hard to read, so I just put like the actual like a bigger version down here. So at this position, so this is showing attention from this position, like the AVE token at the end of microwave. And it's attending to, so if it's doing token induction, or since it's doing token induction, it's attending to the O of like the very next token. But then if you look at like a different attention head that has a higher chunk score and a lower induction prefix masking score, then this one, this AVE attends to like then, it attends to like not the next token, but like the end of the next word. That makes sense. So that's just like an example. This is just like one example, but you know, I was kind of like looking at these attention heads' behaviors to see like there actually are heads that attend to like the end of the next like word instead of attending to like the next token.
This for a specific example, do you does this distribution look similar average over a bunch of examples?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, or like at least when you look at, so the score is, the way I calculate the score is again like how much attention is at the end of the chunk. And so like you can find heads that have like a high like chunk score. But I haven't actually averaged like this exact attention thing over a bunch of examples, which I could do, and I think it would show
like a smoother like area.
Yeah, smoother.
That's thing. Cool.
Yeah. So yeah.
So your hypothesis is that this chunk scores is kind of like a proxy for how this attention head is modeling the concept instead of one specific token.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah, a head that would have a high chunk score is a head that is like the hypothesized like concept induction head that's like attending to the next concept that it wants to copy.
I'm also wondering if the token come at last, it's the same token, but it does not refer to the previous concept. Does it also attend to that? For example, if the word here is not microwave, but it's like avenue, will it still be the same or will be different?
Mm-hmm. Check. Like if the next word was actually,
yeah.
Like if it wasn't actually copying?
Yeah.
So I guess in that case, the model would maybe predict, it would still be predicting oven because it's trying to predict what's coming next.
Yeah.
And so I guess it would predict oven, but then get it wrong if the next word is like actually avenue. If that makes sense. Yeah.
And if we're not compound tokens, does this head not fire for like the token two after?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So this particular head fires, if there's not compound tokens, it does regular induction. But then there's also heads that only fire for concept induction. Like, okay. Yeah.
Have you tried checking this for I don't know what a synonym for microwave token would be, but something similar setting. And does it fire on those tokens as well?
I haven't checked that, but yeah, that's, yeah, I haven't looked at that.
Which model is this?
Llama 2.7b.
And was like, was the token attention at an earlier layer or like, because this one is at the layer 11.
So actually, yeah, they're not like the token ones is at 16. Like they're actually not. Yeah. And if you look at like, yeah, go ahead.
Nothing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's weird. Yeah. Like they're pretty mixed. Like if you look at the top 50 token heads and top 50 chunk heads, they're like all over the place.
Definitely at layer like 15, 16, there should be some guy copying stuff around.
Wait, what do you mean?
Based on my prompts. Based on my multilingual prompts, like somewhere in the middle, there is some crazy concept copying going on.
Okay.
Like, I think.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, because all the heads are like are in the middle layers.
So even the token one was at 16, right?
Yeah, the token one's at 16. The concept one is at 11. This other concept one, this is a concept one that only fires on concepts, but it also
that's
fires
a good layer.
14.
Oh, this is a very good layer.
It's a classic layer.
That's good.
For the concept. Based on my tiny slice, Samba says 100.
Wait, I just from that conversation, I actually just realized that I didn't catch which model we're using here.
Okay.
Layer 14 is a good vintage.
Almost.
Well, your concept convention heads. If you go back one side, I'm kind of surprised that it's not just looking at the full concept of microwave oven, but also leaks a bit into the start of the next sentence.
Yeah.
Do you think it's more like an area, like positional encoding thing, where it's like, question, are the concept induction heads only looking at concepts, or are they just looking at an area around the token?
Yeah, that's a great question. So that's what I still have to take, like,
separate, because
I think there also probably are heads that they're just copying like the next few tokens instead of like
somewhere around there.
Yeah, yeah, somewhere around there. And so I think there definitely are heads that do that. And so I need to make sure to separate like heads that are just like, oh, copy kind of forward from here versus like.
Yeah, both is interesting, right?
Yeah.
No, checking with similar words or synonyms would be a great way to verify this.
Yeah.
Or word level translation.
So, I might have missed. How do you compute that chunk score?
Oh yeah. So the chunk score is I have like these like random token sequences that is like a bunch of random tokens and then a counterfact subject, mm-hmm. then a bunch of random tokens, and like right before the counterfact subject.
Yeah.
And how much does that last token attend to the end of the counterfact subject? Instead of the first token of the count.
So okay, so that number, that 0.06, is like the average across some bunch, some number of counterfactuals.
Yeah, I'm
for
average.
This particular head.
Yeah, for this particular head, average on the last token of it.
Okay.
Which is looks really low, but it is in like the top 20 of the chunk scores because the max is like 1.26.
Yeah, so I think what you can do is instead of using just the normal activation score, you can use that value weighted attention score. It's like you take the multiplication of KV, you also multiply it with the like L2 or L1 norm of the value vectors.
Mm.
That might give you a bit more clearer result. Because if you just do like the attention score, a lot of heads just attend a lot at the first token. But they do not really bring in a lot of information
right.
from the first token. So which
right.
gets kind of
yeah.
ruled out or cleared out if you use the evaluated one.
That's awesome, actually. Yeah, that's a good point. Because also a lot of the time, like, the heads are attending a lot to beginning of sentence and new line, and you can see a little bit of induction stuff happening, but it wouldn't be captured.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Any other... Yeah, so that's like sort of this like intuition from looking at these heads that like, oh, there are actually like these two processes going on. But of course, this is just like looking at attention patterns. So we need to actually like get some causal stuff happening. But before we do that, I'm going to also add this like experiment that we tried, and I told Koyan about it, and then I realized that it actually wasn't as cool as, like, it doesn't work as well as what I showed you, because I kind of made a little oversight. But it still, like, kind of works, so it's kind of interesting. So we know that there are heads that are attending to the next chunk instead of the next token. And so the hypothesis is that these heads are copying over the entire concept of, like, Star Wars, even if it's just doing simple induction, it's, like, copying over the entire thing in Star Wars and like saying Star Wars out again. So if that's the case, then the hidden state right before the model repeats Star Wars should contain the entire concept of Star Wars. So like this hidden state, once it's copied over here, this should have Star Wars, not just star, right? So to try to like see whether this is the case, whether this hidden state actually does have the whole concept, We have like two prompts. I don't know if this is the clearest diagram, but so the first prompt is like an induction prompt. So again, like just a bunch of random tokens, and then you have an uppercase version of a counterfact entity. And then again, a bunch of tokens, and you know, and the model has to like output, you know, copy like that entity. But then the second prompt that I'm working with is just like a Wikipedia excerpt that talks about that entity and like eventually outputs Star Wars. So like this, I don't know, this is kind of a contrived one, but like, you know, some Wikipedia article about Star Wars. And so, yeah, so assuming that the model is copying over the whole concept of Star Wars, then this, so at this, in this induction setting, if we're assuming that like this entire chunk has been copied into here, then if we take that hidden state and put it into another context, the hope or the idea is that if you then get them all to model should be able to output Star Wars, even like if you like change the tokenization. So if you, like if this one is uppercase, but it's converted into like a meaning representation, then this should just have the meaning Star Wars, and it should be able to output the lowercase or the regular title case version of that entity. Does that make sense? That's a...
Are you doing direct patching from main to main?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is like just like kind of a preliminary thing to see what happens when you do this.
If you have access to the heads with higher chunk scores, you kind of have access to the specific subspace in the residual stream that these attention heads are writing to, right? Could you use that somehow?
Yeah, so I'm gonna do that after this, but I didn't end up being able to do it for like, cause I just did this patching thing just to like, as a sanity check kind of thing, even though it didn't really check my sanity cause it didn't exactly work. But that's what I'm gonna do next, is try it with specific head outputs, and it might actually work better.
What do you mean it didn't work? It didn't exactly work.
Yeah, so this is what the results look like. And again, I did this pretty recently, and so the plots aren't like super clear. But how the way that you read this plot is, so yeah, the x-axis is the layer that I patched the hidden state. Y-axis is the probability of outputting like the lowercase version of the token, of the lowercase token version. And then this like orange is, yeah, the probability of like the lowercase version. So like the one that we're trying to get it to output.
Which one is the uppercase?
And so uppercase is the blue. And so the uppercase.
So you don't output that.
Yeah, so the model doesn't really have like any probability of putting the uppercase one in like the Wikipedia article. But then when you patch in, but it does have like a little bit of probability already of outputting like the lowercase version, because the context is like relevant to that concept, which is again another thing that kind of bothers me about this. Like it would be better if we were patching into like a totally random context. And so I kind of want to fiddle around with that more. But you can see that like patching like the representation that's about to copy the uppercase version also does promote the token for the lowercase version in the Wikipedia context, if that makes sense.
But wasn't that what you hypothesized?
It is. And so the reason why I said it doesn't really work that well is because it doesn't work for every example. And it's like sometimes the probability change is only like tiny. Like this was like a cherry picked version.
Mm.
So like this is another example that kind of worked, but it's also at an early layer as well, which is not what I was expecting. I was expecting it to be mid to late. And so I kind of like don't really trust this experiment. And I feel like I feel like I need to work on it a little bit.
Also, is it expected that the model has no probability on the capitalized tokens?
Or yeah.
Just like in the world?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Because the context is all lowercase. And so like why would it be trying to output like an uppercase next token? Well, but it should be like a little, I don't know, it feels like it should be a little.
Just because of the induction example.
You should add another line then, because like there's a lot of probability mass missing here in this plot. So I'm sure the model outputs something at layer 30.
Right.
Right. And that probably is uppercased in some way. If everything was uppercase in the
right.
source prompt.
Right. So yeah. So So at least when I was looking at the outputs of what the model is like actually outputting, it seems like it's kind of just ignoring my patch and just outputting at some sort of likely next token in that context.
But like, are you overwriting the residual stream?
Right.
It cannot ignore the patch at layer 30.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
So the 32, you should be back in your source prompt.
Right. Yeah. I should check that. Maybe it's just a mistake. Yeah, that's a good check.
Sheldon, is this a joint probability over all the tokens, or are you looking at the first token or the last?
So it's looking at like, so yeah, we patch like, it's looking at the second token. So
for wars?
For wars. Yeah, it's looking at the probability of wars.
Right. So it makes sense that the capitalized one is zero because the first token is.
Yeah, visible, right. So. Yeah, because the first token is lowercase.
So it's zero there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
A second question is, I see that the chunk index token, the chunk head that you have,
mm-hmm.
Is it an assumption that the location from which it's getting the information from the RS token there, that probably the language model already figured out that it's a concept Star Wars and it has the information already present there? Is it assumed? Do you have an evidence in your previous work?
Yeah, so that's assumed. That's what I'm trying to see.
Do you think it's possible that maybe it isn't there at that layer? Or no? Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. So wait, you mean at RS or at...
Yeah, at the RS where it's copying the chunk index.
Yeah, definitely. It could be... Well, I mean, no, but the thing is, if it is doing the chunk copying, then it would have to... Like, it would have, in order to make the chunk, it would have to know what Star Wars is, right?
Yeah.
So, but maybe, like, again, since it's an induction setting, there's no need to actually represent the meaning or, like, have a really rich concept representation. Maybe it's, like, a weak chunk or something. But
Actually, after seeing this, that you patch like this, I take my comment back. I revert the comment.
Okay.
Patching at the last layer shouldn't do much here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because we're measuring the next, not the Right. I forgot.
It shouldn't do much because
it's not going to attend to that anymore. Gonna copy whatever it needs to copy.
It would promote big ST, right?
Yeah.
If you just patch the 32.
Well, but like, we're patching at mate and we are decoding at star.
So star is already there.
Star. Oh.
Yeah, right. So that's why it's a forcing experiment.
Right.
So yeah, because here this would definitely just output ST.
Sure.
But the idea is like maybe if you then tell the model, we're actually outputting the lowercase version, then it would attend to the concept here and output lowercase. Yeah.
Do you think the attendee entity is actually the entity in the sense of like, since the representation you're using is like from like random tokens beforehand and then just capitalized tokens of it, then that maybe it doesn't have that Star Wars like entity meaning representation that we actually want.
Yeah.
So like maybe if it's like from let's say a blurb of like Star Wars text, that for sure we know that entity should be talking about Star Wars. Does that by any chance make any improvement?
Yeah, I want to try that because maybe again, like the model, like if it's in an induction setting, like it doesn't concept-y represent it as much.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
What can you distinguish between the model retrieving some knowledge from its pre-training versus the model reading from the context? So, for example, in the induction heads thing, I think they do just names, random names that they define in context and then look at induction. Here for the words star and was, although I may have don't use induction at all, I could still like
you could
predict
still...
was from memory.
Right.
Yeah, maybe it's a more cleaner setup to just use ambiguous concepts that are not
like made up entities.
Yeah.
Made up entities or yeah.
But you want entities that has a concept representation of somehow.
Yeah. How would you know the ambiguous one has an actual concept with that? Because I guess the ambiguous one would be the token level copying, but a known one would be like the meaning level, like a concept level copy, right?
I guess it's like a nice counterfactual.
But it's a good, yeah.
Maybe the cleanest thing would be a surprising entity. Like if the model was going to naturally predict New Jersey and then you put New York there or something like that, then there's this other concept, but at token level, it wanted to something else. Would that yeah, better get your concern.
Yeah.
So with this passing, did you try to localize it to heads?
Not yet, but I want to do that next.
Yeah, because, yeah, then you can look at their attention patterns as well.
Yeah. I think that would be the nicest thing if you could show that specific heads will promote like this behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those heads are the ones that are attending to the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm not sure what time. Oh my gosh. I haven't even gone to the cool part. Okay. Maybe. Okay. How much time? Okay. Let's see. So I have.
You're almost 1 hour, so you can.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So. Right. So the next thing is like actually trying to do causal experiments to find heads that output chunks. So this is going to be the setup. So we know that there are heads that attend to the ends, and maybe it seems like, you know, the whole thing is being copied over. So let's just directly identify a bunch of heads that actually promote chunks. So the setup is I'll have like a clean prompt that's like, again, random tokens, and then like an entity like Graceland, and then random tokens again, and then Grace. And then a corrupt version is just the same thing, but it has like some other like sequence at the beginning. So it's not copying. It's just like, you know, like the end of the, you just replace the beginning with some other stuff. So I also have a diagram for this, but I'll also say it in words as well. So what I'll do is patch the outputs for every attention head from this token in the clean run to this token in the corrupt run, and then measure the impact on outputting, whether patching that attention head makes it output Grace here, but then also whether patching that attention head makes it output Land later on after it sees Grace. So another, here's like a diagram version. So again, this is like the hypothesis of what's happening, that there's some sort of chunk induction head at QUX that is like attending to the end of Graceland and copying over the concept, that entire concept into this representation. And so basically we're just patching over every individual head. And then hopefully once we find the chunk induction head, when we patch this into here, that will like inject the concept of Graceland into here. And so then we can see that by seeing whether this outputs Grace, but then also whether this next position outputs Land. Does that make sense?
There is no Graceland.
Sorry?
There is no Graceland in the context.
Yeah, so there's no Graceland here.
Yeah, so it has to come from up there.
It has to come from up there. Yeah. Yeah.
Clean.
Right? It's clean, right? This one's clean, right? Okay.
But this is this. I mean, this is the same one that you had before, but now, but now you're doing per head. Seems like.
Yeah, and I'm also not doing like the capitalization thing.
I guess yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other one is yeah. Again, I agree. It's a little weird. I don't trust it.
I think this is cleaner.
This one I trust. So. Right. So yeah, that's a setup, and so we basically just measure the logit impact here on Grace and the logit impact here of land. So that's the res. This is like the heat map for all the heads. So like on the left is the impact for Grace, and on the right is impact for land. So this is the one that we're really interested in, because this would just be like a regular induction head, and so it wouldn't differentiate between a token induction and like a chunk induction head. But this would be, this would only happen if it's like copying like the entire concept. And so you can see, I also made it different colors because they're different scales. So like this is like a lot less of a logit change than like this one, which makes sense because it's, you know, it's like a future position. But yeah, you can see like right away, like this head sticks out a lot as like a head that has like a really high, relatively high impact on outputting like land. And so if you look at that head, it's actually also the highest chunk scoring head. So like it's a head that has a lot of attention on the end of chunks. And so if you do like a correlation between like the chunk score and like this logit difference, you can see like this head is like way up here. It has a really high chunk score and also like has an impact on promoting like land. And this correlation is kind of like, it's, I think it's just mostly because of this guy. But, you know, you can see like these other heads that have pretty high chunk scores, they also have like a positive impact on land.
Sorry, I think I missed that. You talked about logit difference. Which exact difference are you taking in?
Oh, yeah. Right. So, yeah, the difference is between like the corrupt prompt and the patch prompt.
And like so, the left matrix was at the token position T, and the right matrix on T plus one.
Yeah, left matrix and right matrix. Yeah. Yeah, and it's just how much patching that head promotes land more than it already was, more than the logit value was before.
But just looking at the right plot, we're seeing raw logit values and not a logit difference.
Oh, it is logit value. It is a difference. Yeah, I didn't say that it was.
Between two specific tokens? Sorry, Media.
So. Yeah.
Probably it has like zero lot, like the logit is like zero or like negative something because it has no reason to.
Without patching.
Without patching.
It had some probability for land, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then with patching, it has a different one.
Yeah. So like this dark green would mean that the corrupt prompt didn't. You know, like that mm-hmm. after you patch in the corrupt prompt now has a, like the patch one now has a higher logit value than the corrupt prompt did.
That's nice. Yeah.
Have you tried looking at the exact logit values? Like how much 0.06 signifies?
Mm.
It's not much, but I think we're patching one single head, so we're not expected
just one head.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, does it kind of like generalize across examples? Or does this head have something very specific for land? It really likes land.
Oh,
or something
yeah.
Like
also,
that.
Yeah. So this is averaged over
nice.
A bunch of it. I think it was like, I don't remember if I did 200 or 1,000 for this.
Nice.
So, but I'm just saying Graceland to make it easy to explain, but it's actually an average. Okay, I should specify it though. It's an average. Because that's misleading.
What is your interpretation of, like, on the left matrix, there's a lot of green going on at the very late layers. Would be just interested to hear.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess in the left matrix, that would just be, like, regular induction. Well, it would be both. It would be, like, both types of induction, I guess. But mostly, like, regular or like more like token induction. But I guess this does show that it's like later. The later heads are like copying over like the next token more. which kind of is inconsistent with what I said before, that like they're kind of all mixed together.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean, I mean, at the end, you need to output a token, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think
right.
In a clean one, those heads might already have the grace value. So when you just patch it, it works.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Why you see it at the later layers.
Right.
Yeah.
What was that?
So if you go back to your patching experiment, yeah, here, if you see in the clean one, the at the later layers, on the crux token, the model will predict grace. It needs to predict grace.
Sure.
So
yes.
Probably the heads at the later layers are encoding grace. So when you just paste those heads from that clean to the corrupt one, the logit of the grace increases.
Yeah.
I would think they're like the mover head style.
Oh, yeah.
It's like literally
yeah.
Copying the thing, probably.
Yeah.
But one thing, could you next, like, why do you think there's only one such head, the chunk? I would expect there are a lot more such heads.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. Yeah, and I'm wondering, like, so, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think, like, the changes are, like, really subtle. And so, like, maybe these light green ones are actually also important. Because there are, I don't know if you can see very well, but there are quite a few, like, light green ones. And I don't, yeah.
How significant do you think the logit difference of 0.08 is? Since like doing your patching experiments on the grace token, which is it goes up to like 0.6. I'm not sure how to interpret the differences in scales here.
Yeah.
And another sanity check. Like if you only look at the logit difference of a single token, since the probability is calculated looking at the full distribution, if the model is uncertain, it could just like ramp up all the logit values, and then it might be better to look at logit differences between like a reference token and this specific LAN token that you're looking at, so to like catch like global shifts.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that. I think you're
like the standard next token that they would predict when just like prompting like I'm going to or something.
Yeah.
Just to have like a reference.
You are you talking about the like lots of different variation score? Or
I'm not like sure about like chain? A variation score, but like in general, like just like looking
yeah.
at a single logit change.
I thought that's what we are looking at. Okay.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. So I might ask you about this
yeah.
after, because I'm not super, like I also didn't know whether to use logits or probabilities, which are like they look kind of the same, but. Yeah, I don't know. There's that kind of stuff that I'm not sure if this I'm doing
yeah,
it this way.
That's right.
So, yeah, but it might, yeah, that might be better to make it. Like this course make a little more sense. All right, yeah, but then also as a baseline, I also just did so instead of having an entity like Graceland here, I just did like the entire thing is all random tokens, and did like the same patching experiment. And so that's like what the results look like. You can ignore, I don't know if that note makes much sense, but yeah, like I think, so yeah, this is just to get like heads that like always promote like the next token. And you can see that like the logit difference is smaller, like the highest here is like 0.1, 0.01, whereas like on the right here, it's like 0.08. So basically then, I don't know if this makes any sense. So this is already difference, but then I also did like a difference of differences as well. So we have like all of the, like at the amount that the head increases land for counterfact entities minus the average amount that it promotes the next token, like in general. And so then that gives like a ranking of like heads that especially like to promote the next token for counterfact entities. And so this is, I'm going to use this set of heads to do something in a next experiment that I think is kind of interesting. But I don't know if this is the most sound thing, but at least when I do this, I can do something cool.
Both of these averages are taken on different data sets? Right?
Yes, yeah, they have to be.
Yeah. So one set of heads is just looking ahead regardless of meaning.
Yeah.
And the other set of heads is looking ahead, especially when it's meaningful.
Yeah, especially for counterfact entities. Yeah.
Wait, so the last plot, it's like, what is that suggesting? Those heads which we see there, those are promoting the next token, or is it the ones which are like the character, the chunk heads that you're looking for?
So these are what I think are the chunk heads, because seemingly seem to promote the next token just for counterfact entities, or more for counterfact entities than they do for like regular like random tokens.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So,
but you are doing subtraction here for this is the one, the left hand side one is the one that you want. The middle one is what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get the final resultant, most of them are below zero.
Yeah. So a lot of these heads, I guess, are below zero, but there are some heads that are like green. And so I'm going to take those and try and use
it. Okay, I don't see much of a green there.
Yeah, that layer 9, 30. I mean, layer 30 token.
Yeah, you can't see it, but they are there.
Okay.
There's a couple. Yeah.
Okay.
Looking at the scales of this plot, it's like 0.08, 0.01. And then in the difference, it goes up to 0.4.
Yeah. I was wondering if I've like made some kind of mistake with this. I'm not sure.
And the other thing is, you do like patching across your data set for each head at a time, right? So that would be 32 times 32 times the number of examples that you have in data set. That's very time consuming.
Yeah, it took a long time to do.
Yeah, but we even use DCM thing, learn a mask over the attention heads. That would be way more quicker. And so one of the problems with patching just one head is, if there are a group of heads which are working together to get something, it's hard to find that with just a single, when you're just patching in one head at a time. But when you learn a differential mask over all potential heads, the chances of getting those group of heads together is higher. Yeah, so that's also an advantage.
Yeah.
Your previously super important head is gone. I didn't notice before. Is that right?
Oh, no, it's still there. It's green. It's one of the few green heads.
Oh, okay. So it survived.
Yeah. It's at 14.1.
So it's there.
It's still there.
I was also a bit worried. Mikhail, how is this technique called with the mask over heads?
Go to your web browser, type DCM.
I literally did that.
dot baolab.info.
These guys,
we need a web page that lists all of the project pages.
Okay,
maybe we should create that thing.
I have it, thank
you. It'll work. It should work.
Do you compare that like with a simple like greedy algorithm of like taking the most impactful head? And now, condition that this head is there, what is the next most impactful head? Adding that, what is the next most impactful head? Condition that those two heads are there. Like the epsilon VD algorithm from like submodular set function optimization.
I'm not sure. We can discuss about that later, I guess. Oh, there you're done?
I have one more thing. I have one more thing that I kind of buried the lead, because this is the experiment that I was the most excited about, but I wanted to do all the other stuff to explain why I was, what I'm doing. So now I did this kind of jank thing, which I'm still not sure if makes sense. But we have like a bunch of heads that I'm going to call like the counterfact promoter heads, which promote like the next token, especially like to promote the next token for counterfact entities. And so my hypothesis is that these are actually concept induction heads. And so if that's the case, then they should be important for like other tasks that involve copying concepts like translation. There's like three types of ICL tasks that I wanted to test. So basically I set up three tasks. So there's a translation task for words, so from French words to English words, and then the same prompt set up, but copying English words to English words, and then the same like template, but copying nonsense to random tokens to random tokens. So the translation wouldn't use token induction heads, but it would use the concept induction heads. And then the nonsense would use the tokens, but it wouldn't use the concept induction. And so then copying English words would use like both of them, because you can copy it like with the meaning, or you can copy it with like the individual tokens, because it's the same thing. So here's like examples of the prompts. Yeah, so like translation, I just used the same data set that Eric used with his function vectors stuff of just a bunch of words from in English and French. So I like, this is all one prompt. I just like looped it because otherwise it's too long. You have like a list of French words, and then a list of the English translations, and the model has to complete like the translation for this word. But then copying is the same template, but it's just the exact same. I didn't actually change this.
It's fine.
Yeah. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
This should be this. That's what copying looks like.
Instantly fixed.
Yep.
But now to be clear, this is not the ICL setup, right? This is the copying setup. So you go down the first column.
Yeah.
And then go up to down the second.
Yeah. Column, so right? what it really looks like is this. But I just couldn't fit it on the slide. So I just put it like this. Right. And then nonsense is just like a bunch of randomly sampled like tokens. So I'm going to have like a bunch of two sets of heads that I'll ablate. So one set of heads is these counterfact promoter heads. And then another set of heads is just the heads that these guys, the on the left plot that promote, or actually not these, the heads that promote the next token for random tokens. So just like classic like token induction heads. So that's like the two sets of heads that I'm ablating for all of these tasks. And so this is what it looks like. So for this plot is so on the x-axis is the top k like counterfact promoter heads, which I'm hypothesizing are like the concept induction heads. You can see that if I ablate like the top 128 concept counterfact promoter heads, that like destroys the translation accuracy relative to what it was originally. A lot more than it destroys the accuracy for like copying in English words and accuracy for copying nonsense. Does that make sense? As
the blue line drops faster.
Yeah, the blue line goes down faster, yeah. Basically.
What are those numbers then?
Yeah, and so this num and so
like nonsense accuracy.
Yeah. So this plot is just to make it easier to read. I put percent of the original performance, percent of the model's original performance. So the model only has like a 53% accuracy for this translation task, but I just normalized it so that like this is the percent of its original accuracy, so that you can compare it on the screen. So this is just showing what the original accuracies were. You can see that like ablating these like counterfact promoter heads makes the blue line go down faster. For the exact same tasks, if you ablate the top K regular like token induction heads, then you can see that the model stops being able to copy the nonsense tokens as well, but is still able to do the translation task and the English copying task. To me, that pretty much shows that like these like counterfact promoter heads At least whatever is in the top 128 of them, some set in the top 128 of them, are like actually also important for translation. And the induction heads are important for like the verbatim copying. But that the English task, if you're copying English word to the exact same English word, that actually uses both of them. Yeah. Does that make sense?
That's a cool experiment.
Looks like you have some signal here.
Some what?
Signal.
Yeah, it's yeah, it does, it is actually a signal, I think. Oh yeah, and then this is just me saying the same thing again. Yeah, so if you ablate the concept induction heads, it stops being able to do translation, but it can still do these guys. Oh, I didn't fix it. But then if you ablate the token induction heads, it stops being able to copy nonsense, but it can still do those guys. So that's my last thing.
Wait. So in your last slide, when you destroy the induction heads, it is still able to copy English words?
Yeah. Or if you destroy the concept induction heads, it can still copy English words because the tokens are the exact same still.
Yeah, that's fine. But when you destroy induction heads?
When you destroy the token induction heads,
yeah.
The model can still copy the English words.
Why?
Because it can copy the meaning of those words. Right, it knows what those words are.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so this is what I have, and I would love if people have, you know, if they want to talk about like feedback and ideas.
So Yixu said, is there an overlap between token induction heads and concept induction heads?
Yeah, so from the attention patterns like that I was showing, like when I was looking at individual heads, there were heads that did both. But also the fact that you can do this ablation means that I guess there is like separate enough. But I'm kind of curious about that. Yeah.
So 100 heads, just like so, it's a signal. It might be pretty distributed among heads. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But that is a very naive way of taking 100 heads.
Definitely.
Yes.
You just sort them according to this score.
It was nice.
So you don't take synergies in between the heads into account. You take the 100 individually most impactful heads.
Yeah.
So the taking more of the synergies into account might change how fast these lines drop.
Like, yeah, I agree. I think there's probably, it would be cool to find a better way to find exactly which heads like are, because yeah, right now when it is imprecise, I just take like the top.
Yeah. Maybe you could take Jack Marudo's method and see which heads are talking with each other and ablate them. Like
or DCM
would work, right?
DCM would, yeah. So should work. But do you have like 100 green heads? Green. So when you showed those, this minus this equals to this. And I think that's how the resultant figure that you get there, you're selecting the greens one there. You have 100
there's
greens.
There's not there. Even, yeah. Yeah, so I'm guessing that the top 100 is going to be the ones that are green and white, right? Because I guess white means that it also likes to output the next token in general, right? So it's still like a next token outputter, but it's not specifically for counterfact entities. Yeah.
So maybe if you block the top 10, there are others appearing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like the ones which you wouldn't find your first one. if you block the top 10 and then do the same experiment again, maybe you'll see like new ones popping up.
Yeah.
To be more influential.
I don't like this slide, so I'm gonna go over here.
So do you think that the, you know, you mentioned this, you know, synergies between heads. Do you think that the single, so we do a lot of experiments where we do single head scans to, you know, to find things in logistic 3D sets. But do you think that it's possible that the reason this signal is weak is because maybe the way meaning is brought over is from heads that are only triggered when a previous layer head has noticed that there's meaning? Like maybe one head at a layer comes over and says, ah, there's some meaning here you have to pay attention to. And then at a later layer that says, well, in that case, I better go back and look carefully at what the meaning was. Whereas if you just test that second layer by itself, it's never triggered because nobody told it that there was a candidate meaning thing to look for, right? So yeah. I feel like there's, you know, there's this possibility that because we, like when we look at these other circuits in huge detail, we see these, you know, secondary triggers that are happening that you might not see if you were looking at the heads on their own, right?
I would guess there's some kind of like for entities, there's probably some like binding happening, right? That's like a signal of like all of these tokens are related to like to one entity. Whereas like nonsense tokens, like you don't get the same kind of binding, like the model wouldn't pair them together naturally.
Right, simpler.
Yeah. And I would guess that probably happens earlier than these. Right?
Right. Right.
Maybe one thing we can also do is to experiment on the data sets for discovering this kind of head like concept induction versus token induction. These heads are discovered based on like some data sets, maybe some synthetic data. But if you use another data set, would you like also discover the same head or is totally different? I think this is kind of like robustness check, and I think this would be useful.
Yeah, it would be useful to do this thing because I use counterfact entities for this. I think it would be useful to do it with like multi-token words and stuff like that as well. Yeah.
But could you use the downstream data sets as well? The translation, copy, translations. English copy and nonsense copy.
Yeah, I was.
You could also use those to write down some loss function for the finding the heads.
Yeah, that's what I was. I think like using other tasks as well could be, like basically trying to score this in another way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know how many totals are total heads are there?
1,000. 1,024. Yeah,
and there has to be like some overlap between these heads probably in your top 20 to 26, right? And do you think like where do you think this overlap would start between induction and your concept induction token induction
overlap between heads?
Like I'm guessing maybe not top 50, not top 100, right? At some point it would start that.
Yeah. Well, I guess, like, it would start, yeah, I guess it starts to destroy the other types, like, around top 256. Like, if you're for the left plot. But I also, again, wonder if the same, like, one single head can do both things, which I haven't really, like, this kind of assumes that each head is either one or the other.
Right, but like if you're going to top 256, you said you might go into the white territory.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So there could be overlaps.
Yeah, right.
Like especially if you're blocking the top 10, maybe the new ones that become token induction are the previously concept induction. which is also taking this additional charge of doing the
effects. Right.
Because it's so interesting that after like 200 heads or so, everything drops to zero. And the model is like, I don't know what to do now. So I wonder like if it's because of concept ones or like the token ones or maybe mix of both.
Yeah. So you're saying maybe the heads that do both start to do chunks more when the main chunk heads are...
Yeah, like all of this drop is probably happening because you removed all concept heads. They don't exist anymore. It's just a different dimension of seeing why is the drop going to zero.
I see. So maybe there are concept heads hidden in this induction head set.
And either one of those are like really important for the modern work. I mean, it'll be cool if you can say, yeah, it's just the concept heads. If you remove all of them, there's no way the model works. But if you remove all the token heads, it still kind of works.
One thing too is I wonder maybe instead of looking at heads, like, because I kind of imagine that there's like maybe three or two previous token subspaces, if that makes sense. And so maybe if you intervene on the subspace that the head's reading from instead of ablating the head, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Jaden does for our stable diffusion ones. Messes with the input subspace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's usually the best way to like target a head to like affect it.
So you're not looking when you ablate your heads right now. So this is an ablation experiment. It's not a patching experiment, right?
Yeah, ablation.
Yeah, and but you're not. You don't care what that head is attending to. You're just sort of going over all the heads, regardless of where it's getting the information, killing it. You think that so I like that because you know you have this hypothesis that it should be attending to that. A certain token, but you know, it would make sense for it to have alternate paths to be able to attend to other tokens. And maybe it shouldn't matter. Do you think that this experiment also works for identifying heads as a patching experiment? Like you'd be able to sort them through a similar patching setup instead of an ablation setup?
Like use the translation stuff?
Or some sort of patch, right? So here, like the ablation you're always looking for. Oh, I've mixed up all your experiments. So when you identify the heads, is it from ablation or is it from patching?
Oh, identifying the heads is patching.
Right. Okay. So that's okay. So that's actually I was asking about the thing you already did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a regular practice to compare logic differences, or is it? I don't know if it makes sense to compare the logic probabilities.
That's what Byron was complaining about as well. And I agree. Like, I don't really know makes sense.
Having more signal on the logits, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But then you're comparing against different runs. I wonder how much of a sense it makes. Like, I think that's what John was saying in the beginning. Yeah. Where originally, if the model is not so confident across all the tokens, maybe it'll boost one of the tokens really high. Or like it knows the answer for sure, then it might not boost it as much.
To get a more stable baseline over different runs, maybe you can choose a specific reference token.
So maybe it makes sense in these like super paired settings, you know, where this comes from.
In this setting, when you have grace and land, you can just like, look at the highest token probability when you just prompt the model on grace and take whatever token comes next. And then you always like kind of like have the difference of differences. It's always like your reference versus land in the patch and clean setting.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's a difference of differences before I do the other difference.
Just scale differences. Your probability is fine too, because then you don't need to worry about, like, it's already normalized. Other like, if you're worried about the law just not being normalized to some baseline, just take the probability and then.
Yeah.
It's easier to read on a plot anyway.
If we get
like, you don't know what six, what does the logit of six mean? We don't know, you know.
And the probabilities do actually, like, I didn't cherry pick, like, the probabilities do actually look kind of
similar. Yeah, I would guess it mirrors that.
Yeah, okay. To this. Yeah. I just use logit because people say to use logit, but I don't know which is better.
The probability will be clearer in this case.
Yeah.
So in your cleaner setup, when you patch the Graceland thing into the one which doesn't mention Graceland ever, it's almost as if the model is fighting between its factual recall and its and the patching that you do.
Right? So, fighting between factual recall?
Yeah, you say, can you go to the example? Yeah, when I worked at something, Grace, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's probably like looking at, oh, I know this answer, like some right. fake fact which doesn't exist, but the model thinks it knows it.
Yeah. I think actually, sorry, again, this is a random problem tokens. With my, yeah, this is random. Okay. This is a problem with my okay. slides. Yeah, I should clean up my slides, but I did do this a little bit.
Makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Oh my God.
All right. We have Rohit next at 12. So.